A small two-story house, the Kamwa-Chung General Store, stands dark and claustrophobic. The floorboards creak and the walls are black from smoke.
They did cook on the wood stove. Doc Hay, when he first started using his medicines, he cooked your herbs up for you and gave you the liquid, and then he started giving you the herbs and you did the cooking at home.
Curator Carolyn Meisenheimer has led people through the Kamwa-Chung & Company Museum for almost 30 years. There's still a strong herbal smell in the Kamwa-Chung from the herbs and opium once sold there. Ing Hay, who came to be known as Doc Hay, was a master of Chinese medicine. Doc Hay offered hope to the desperate where there were no hospital facilities or qualified doctors.
He was a pulse doctor, and he would not pick up anything with his right hand at all. He used his left hand. His right hand was his diagnosis hand, so that he would lay those fingers on your wrist and other pulses to read the internal state of your body.
Dr. Jeffrey Barlow was one of the first scholars to study the artifacts of the Kamwa-Chung. Barlow discovered letters written by Lung An, Doc Hay's business partner, who also helped with patients.
They would prescribe by mail. There are many letters from people who had been in the area and had moved out or had heard of Doc Hay in one way or another, and they would write in, explain. Sometimes Lung An, we think, wrote back and asked a few more questions, and then Doc Hay sent herbs with Lung An's careful handwriting telling you how to put these recipes together on your own stove.
Among the artifacts from the Kamwa-Chung are pages of prescriptions written in Chinese.
This is where Doc Hay would come and fix your herbs and medicines. He had 500 different Chinese herbs on the shelf. You would get so many and boil it up and make your tea and then drink your tea according to his directions. Or you might have gotten some kind of animal parts, deer horns, might have been ground up into powder and put in your medicine.
Doc Hay's grandnephew, Ed Waugh, actually lived in the store in the 1940s. Ed Waugh's family moved to town when he was in elementary school, and his parents slept in the kitchen. He and his brother took the bunk beds, once reserved for opium smoking.
Everything was old. The round dinner tables. Every time we sit down for dinner, instead of having a tablecloth, he just spread some newspaper, and that was a tablecloth. There wasn't a lot of comfort in there, but it was adequate to sit and visit a while.
In the past, people would sometimes come to buy groceries or pray at the Buddhist shrines Doc Hay had built. But by the time Ed Waugh's family arrived, it was usually the doctor they wanted to see.
They carried this lady into the house because she couldn't walk and worked for, I think, maybe about an hour. And doggone if this lady didn't walk out of there. And I was so impressed with that. I said, what did he do, you know? That kind of results, immediate results, is hard to find anywhere else. He had these checks that people wrote for the herbs, and he just stuffed them away, thinking they were usable like cash. And if he needed money, he'd just go cash one. And wealth was not a big thing with him.
This was Doc Hay's bedroom. Actually, it was under this bed that they found the $23,000 worth of uncashed checks, and it's the smallest room in the building.
Part of the income was Doc Hay, for sure. In a sense, their social network and protection was Doc Hay.
Jeffrey Barlow.
Because Hay was so valuable on the frontier as a doctor that nobody was going to permit anyone from outside to come in and shoot their China doctor full of holes. He was too valuable a guy. So for Lung An, being next to Doc Hay meant that he was safe. On the other hand, for Doc Hay, Lung An meant here is a man who can communicate, who can write, who can communicate with China where the herbs came from, who knows how to invest money, who knows how to manipulate social organization of both the Chinese and the Americans. And they were simply a wonderful partnership.
Doc Hay and Lung An were likely veterans or refugees from a massive rebellion in China, according to Dr. Barlow. So these stalwart men could hold their own in a frontier full of miners and buckaroos who would often shoot up Chinatown for fun. Carolyn Meisenheimer points to the entrance of the Kamwa-Chung.
We do have one bullet hole in the door. They say the Americans would shoot up Chinatown once in a while on Saturday night and have not a malicious time, but have a scaring time for the Chinese.
Yet Doc Hay and Long An were always on friendly terms with John Day residents. Thelma Kite was 4 years old when her mom took her to the doc for an ear infection.
One thing I could remember, the doctor would give me candy to try to get me over it, but I'd hide behind my mother's skirt and reach around to take the candy because I was scared.
They clearly loved children. The Kamwa-chung is full of pictures cut from magazines and candy ads of stereotypical children. Some of them are blonde little American girls advertising chocolates from the 1930s, and some of them are Chinese children clipped from calendars. So clearly we know that they regretted not being able to have children, and the way in which they treated local children, all the memories, or many of the memories that you have, are childhood memories from John Day.
By 1940, fewer than 20 residents of Chinese descent lived in John Day. Ed Hua and his family stayed with Ing He till he could no longer walk.
Unfortunately, he fell and broke his hip, and that was his downfall. We had to bring him into Portland then and put him into a rest home where they could take care of him because he's just too much for dad and mom to take care of. And I think he lived there for 2-3 years, and then he just decided, no, there's nothing to live for. So then he passed on.
We're here at Rest Lawn Cemetery. I feel like Doc Hay and Long An are old friends. Long An died in 1940, then Doc Hay died in 1952.
Meisenheimer personally saw to it the graves were restored.
There are 8 unmarked graves here with no record of them. And part of it is when I talk to people about them, they think the fact that there is no record of a name or anything, perhaps they were Chinese.
Yao Wai.
The frontier is lined with the unmarked graves of Chinese workers who helped to mine gold or build railroads. The Kamwa-chung and the story of Ing He and Long An stands as one of the rare testaments to the contribution Chinese immigrants made to early frontier life.
There are times when I think of Long An and Doc Hay sitting in that dark Kamwa-chung building, kerosene lighting, until well into the 1940s. I see them as men who came out of a terribly difficult environment into another equally challenging environment and totally mastered it. And for me, it's hard to see them as anything other than incredibly successful. In a quiet way, kind of heroes, not kind of stand up and shoot it out heroism, but heroism that comes to learn a foreign culture and a language and adapt to foreign ways. I don't see them as victims at all.